This podcast is brought to you by Podomatic, one of the internet's leading podcast hosting providers. Podomatic will give you all the publication tools you need to make your podcast simple, easy, and fun. To start your free account today, just visit podomatic.com. You can also upgrade to a pro account for as little as $9.99 per month. So make your podcasting experience worthwhile and make it with Podomatic. Once again, you're listening to the Potter Pensive Podcast, episode 55, and the final episode of the Potter Pensive Podcast. How are you guys all feeling right now?
Boo!
Oh my god!
Boo!
Yeah. My sentiments exactly.
If you could describe your feelings with one sound, with one vocal sound, what would they be?
Should we go one by one?
Yeah, go one by one. Chio, what's yours?
But that was a good one.
It doesn't even make any sense. Heather? Oh, yeah. Okay. Sarah?
What?
What? That sounds like you're just pissed off or something.
Right, I don't want it to end.
Okay.
Adam,
I see.
What's yours?
Oh, gosh. Mine would be... Oh, yay!
You cheat!
No. Mine would probably be more like, oh. Probably, yeah. So, yeah, we've reached the very last one. And
last one.
Yeah, before we were recording, I was just like, okay, you guys, are you guys ready to go? And then Chio and Sarah were like, Adam, you sound a little bit nervous. I was like,
you,
no,
yeah.
You sounded a bit nervous.
Well, I mean, I guess I am. I have to be honest with you guys. I couldn't really do anything, get any work done yesterday because I was just thinking about this recording and how I just wanted us to do it justice because, I mean, this marks the end of our four-year project. You know?
Me too. That's all I could think about today, like putting on shoes, like sitting in class, just anything I was doing. I was just like, Potter Pensive.
Yeah.
Potter Pensive.
You know, and it's been a wild ride, and there's been, you know, a couple hiatuses,
yeah.
But, you know, like, we came back, and we're actually on the very last episode now, and it's really a surreal experience for me. But anyways, I've got a little, because at the end of the show, here, I'll go over the structure for the show today, because it's a very different episode than what we have done for the last 4 years. Basically, we're going to start off with, we've got some chicken soups that some really incredible fans have sent us, and they're very moving and heartfelt, and they're just very, very touching, right? So I hope you guys feel the emotion as we read these goodbye, farewell, send-off emails, and we've got a couple of voice chicken soup MP3s that we're going to play, one being from Holly, and
we
one
know
from...
Her.
We know her, that's right. And we've got an MP3 from Ricky, who has been a listener right from the very beginning, and he sent us an incredible MP3. Like, it's funny, it's, you know, he kind of pokes fun at us sometimes. Definitely me. I know he pokes fun at me, so it's going to be pretty funny.
Everything
yeah,
you could want
the only
in a soup.
One who, you're
yeah.
the only one who heard this MP3.
I'm the only one who's heard it.
Right.
Yeah, you guys haven't. None of you have heard any of the MP3s yet, so we're going to play them all together and get our reactions to them as you, the listeners, listen to them and we listen to them as well. It'll be like mini film commentaries in the podcast episode.
Cool.
And then what's going to happen is once we finish that, I'm going to play some favorite moments from the show. And so I've got a little list here of some of our favorite moments, including the moment that we all forgot Ferenczi's name, right? That centaur in the Harry Potter series. And Sarah
really
was all like, Yeah, that really important one. And Sarah was all like, Google it, Gio, Google it. And Mauricio was like, this is so embarrassing. Take it out.
No, really, that was sad.
It was sad, I know. I was like, what are we, Harry Potter amateurs?
I just want to make it clear that I was not involved in that moment in any sort of way. Yeah. I know Ferenzi's name.
I know. We needed you for that one. We needed you, and where were you?
We needed you, and you were nowhere to be found. Yeah. So... So we're going to go through some favorite moments clips, and you guys will be all you listeners will be thrown into a throwback city, you know, some nostalgia for you, and so that'll be fun. And then we're going to go do the last two chapters of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, and then we're going to finish the show off with our closing statements, and then that'll be that. Oh, and we've got a little I don't know if this isn't an official announcement that we have, but it's a sort of semi-announcement, you know, kind of in-development announcement. So we're going to announce that at the very end of the episode. So stay tuned for that. Yeah. Yeah, that's how the show's going to look.
Okay, sounds depressing.
It sounds fun. It sounds, you know, nostalgic. I am excited, too. I'm feeling very fulfilled and proud of all of us right now. So that's what I want this...
Really, like, the energy that, you know, we all are bringing to this episode seems to be pretty awesome. So,
yeah, it's awesome. Cool. I agree. I think we're all just feeling that sense of, and we felt it at when we finished the commentary. Now we're really feeling it, because this is the last one. So, okay, so I guess we should get this show on the road now. I guess we should jump right into these chicken soups.
Oh, man. All right, this one comes from Erica in Canada.
Hooray!
She writes, hey guys.
Erica?
Excuse me.
Sorry.
She writes, hey guys, I can't believe you're almost there. I used to listen to you while I worked on my school on the internet. Because of you and other podcasts, I almost failed grade 11. Oh, now I feel bad. Goodness.
I shouldn't be laughing at that.
You're welcome.
Sorry.
Yeah, right.
You're welcome.
But I wouldn't change it for anything.
Oh, so yeah, you're welcome.
It's nice to forget the stress of grade 12 for a little bit while I listen to one of your episodes. I'm so glad I googled Harry Potter podcasts and found you guys. Love from Canada, Erica. Thank you, Erica.
Thanks, Erica.
Love from us.
Thank you.
Yes.
Great. And I apologize for almost making you fail grade 11. But if you wouldn't change it for anything, then that's great.
And trust me, Erica, yeah. I have been there with the almost failing from Harry Potter, so...
Yeah,
thank you completely. And thank you so much for your support.
Yeah, thank you, Erica. That was really great. Okay, Sarah, take her away with yours.
All right, I have one for Michael. Just wanted to say thanks for the podcast. Made my days at work a lot less boring. I have already decided that once the podcast is finished, I will have to reread the whole series again, and of course, listen to the podcast whilst doing so. Did I say that right? I said that right.
Yes. Yes, you did.
Okay, good. Also, after visiting the Warner Bros. Studio tour, I will be watching the films again, accompanied by yourselves with the commentary. Thanks from the UK, from Michael.
Oh, thank
you.
That's
awesome, Michael.
That's great.
And he's going to listen to our commentaries again.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I want to listen to our commentaries again.
Yeah,
they were
hilarious. I'm going to do the same as him, I think.
I think so. Well, I don't know if I can wait for the Warner Bros. Studio part, but as far as like rereading and rewatching and with the commentaries, I'm all about it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Cool stuff.
So this is from Will. And the letter says, the mail says, I want to thank the Potter Pensive so much for always making me feel happy when I'm listening. For always, and this is in caps, always making me laugh, and for always giving me more information and hidden extras in the Potter series. I have loved every single host that has been on the show, and I'll always re-listen to this fantastic podcast. You have made the last 4 years of my life truly special, and I want to thank you all so much for your hard work and effort you have put in. I'm going to miss getting excited over new episodes of PPP, but you always remain in my heart, all of you. Love, Will.
That was really heartfelt.
That's really great. Awesome. Yeah, and thank you. Thank you for listening, and thanks for your really kind words. And I'm happy that we could, you know, give you some entertainment for the last 4 years. I'm happy we made the last 4 years of your life truly special, as you put it.
It's really great to see an impact like that.
Yeah, it really is.
And absolutely.
I'm not really buying this, you know, loved every single host, but, you know, that's fine.
What are you saying, Gio? What are you saying? No, just kidding. That's great. Okay, I'm going to do my email last. So who's next? Heather, I think you are.
Heather,
okay. Yeah.
Let's see.
This is such a good one.
Yeah, this one comes from Maria. Yeah, this one comes from Maria, and I like it a lot. Hey, Potter Pensivers. I'm not really sure what category this message comes under, but it's something I've always thought, and I thought I'd share it now. The Potter Pensive podcast, in a certain way, has helped me keep faith in mankind. In a world of political turmoil, racism, and discrimination, the Potter Pensive podcasters and listeners have come together, without caring about nationality, gender, religion, or any other factors, to discuss a series that we love. There have been 4 amazing years of laughter, joking, occasional disagreements, and always detailed discussion. And it moves me when I think of us as a group of people who, despite all our differences, have acknowledged that we are all essentially human beings and not very different at all. I think it shows the power of this podcast, the Harry Potter series, and of literature at large to bring people together. So congratulations, Potter Pensivers, on an amazing run. I'm really going to miss the podcast.
From Rhea.
Oh, I just got chills again hearing.
Did you
hearing
get chills?
Yeah.
I got chills too.
I mean, Yeah, that was like, really, really awesome.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's right, you know? Like, this podcast, I have brought the world into my dorm room, essentially. I think we've all brought the world into our own rooms, you know?
Definitely.
Like, we've had Emily from Australia. We've had guest hosts from Europe. We've had, you know, all of these people. And it's just, she's right, though, despite all of our differences, you know, where we come from, what nationality we are, you know, what religion we are. Like, no, we don't care, right? We've all just always just come together and we've talked about something we all have in common and that we are all obsessed with because we love it so much, you know, and that's this series. And it's been a really great time. And it's really shown us, and shown everybody who listens that, you know, mankind is not divided as we think it is. You know, we're all people, right? And we all come together just for the sake of doing it. We all came together for the sake of doing this podcast, and it's been a blast. So thank you very much, Rhea. That was an incredible email, and that really will resound with me.
Thank you.
Yeah,
we do restore, you know, everyone's faith in mankind. Yeah. I think we really are that good, you know.
Yeah, but I think that's really the magic.
Are you making a joke?
Oh, Chio.
Yeah, really.
See, you're so amazing.
I don't know what I'm gonna do without you. When I say this, I'm like Chio, but I think that the truest magic of Harry Potter is its ability to bring people together from all walks of life and just create new things out of their passion from this.
Yeah.
Amen, Heather.
Amen to that, for sure.
Okay, I like the way you put that too. Okay, I'm up. All right, this is from Georgina. And she says, "Hi, guys. I've been listening to your amazing show for a long time, and it saddens me to see you go. Your analysis and discussions have made me feel closer to the Potter community than ever before, and I feel like I know you all personally. I have so many favorite moments of the show, but one of my favorite episodes has to be Chio Wenti. It was so fun to hear what goes on when Adam isn't around." And she does say, "Although I love you just as much, Adam."
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Georgina. That makes me feel better.
just a tad. "Even once you stop posting new episodes, I will always listen over and over again as I have them all saved to my laptop and will never forget your wonderful little show. Best wishes for the future, Georgina, aged 16.
All right. Awesome.
Thank you, Georgina.
Thank you.
Oh, that's so great. And you know what? I forgive you, okay? Yes, I forgive you. I know
you have Adam's forgiveness.
That was, you know, the best episode
It was a really good episode. That was the first episode that you edited, Chio.
I think that was pretty much the only one.
That was, because I think you did a couple more after that, but like that was like the one, that was your main one. I remember you told me you spent hours editing that because you needed to make it exactly right, perfectly right. So I was like, put a lot of hard work into that episode. And I remember that was the episode that we had all the Glee tangents on, right?
Yeah.
And which I'm going to be putting in our collection of favorite moments coming up here, which is pretty good. And I remember Holly saying, Adam's going to kill you guys. I listened back to that. I was like, oh, God. You know, I will, but no, I'm not going to.
Not until this episode is done.
Not until the whole podcast is over, which will be tonight. So after that, God. I'm sorry, you guys.
Oh, just made my stomach fall into my feet.
Yeah. okay, I think that was all of them except mine. So I'm going to say, then we're going to get to the MP3 chicken soups, which are really interesting. So I'm taking a letter, and the reason why I'm taking only one this week is because it's a bit of a longer one, and it's from Timothy. And I really feel like a connection, okay, for lack of a better term, I really feel like a connection with this email, because he talks about some things that I can really relate to. So he says, "Hey, Pensivers, while I've only been listening for 2 years, oh, that's a shame. You should have been listening all 4.
Yeah, where were you, man?
Where were you, man? Come on. While I've only been listening for 2 years, I'm incredibly sad to say goodbye to the podcast. You guys brought my high school to a close and helped me get through a couple of the toughest years of my life so far. Mm-hmm. It was great to kick back, relax, and listen to you all discuss Potter in such a lighthearted and carefree manner. I've been a Potter nerd my whole life, and while I feel no real friends in high school understood my maniacal obsession with the boy wizard and his world, I felt solace in knowing that you guys did. I wish I could have even joined you guys in your journey through the series as, in brackets, I think Holly mentioned a couple of episodes ago, I find myself contributing to the conversation almost absentmindedly." Which, yeah, lots of people.
I can relate. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. I would listen to podcasts, you know, and I would do that too. And I loved it. So same. I'm really happy we made you do that. And he says, "I loved how each of you had your own personality. Adam, the upbeat guy who keeps everyone on track, but in a nonchalant way. Heather, the quirky but serious one who brought some great insights to the show. Sarah, the incredibly cheerful one who continuously kept the mood light and fun. And Chio, the goof who..." What was that, Sarah?
That was funny about Chio.
"And Chio, the goof who cracked jokes just at the right times, yet came out with such wise words at the right times as well. And Emily, I miss her and wish she could have stayed until the end. Was very sad to see her go." And then he put a little unhappy face there.
Oh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
"And now I'm sad to see all of you go. I hope you guys decide to do something in the near future. Pottermore? Beetle the Bard? Other Potter-related things? I understand that each of you need to move on with your lives, but I hope you don't forget the beloved Harry Potter community. You guys made it."
Not really.
Yeah, not really. "I won't really forget it." And then he finishes his email by saying, "You guys made it. Congrats on finishing the series, and thanks for an awesome couple of years. NBOT, Timothy."
Awesome.
So I love how people end their emails to us with NBOT.
We've started something.
I know.
It's like our thing, you know? It's all NBOT now. Yeah. Like, that's how I'm going to finish all of my, you know, professional business correspondence letters with NBOT, and just absentmindedly, and I'm going to look back and be like, oh, crap, why did I do that?
And, you know, Timothy, I just want to touch on something that you said in your letter to us, where you said that people in your high school didn't understand your obsession with Harry Potter, but you could always find people who did. And in my experience, I found that every time you think that you are alone in understanding something, there's somebody else out there thinking at that exact same time the same thing as you are.
That's true. Yeah. So thank you very much, Timothy. That was great.
Thank you.
Really great.
And that will conclude our written letters. And now let's get to some MP3s, guys.
Boy.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, yay.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
So the first one, this first one comes from Holly. She gave us a little goodbye MP3. So this is Holly's farewell MP3 to us.
Hey everyone, it's Holly. I just want to say thank you to all of you for a great fandom experience. I never would have been part of if it wasn't for me randomly tuning into Adam and Heather's podcast many moons ago. I remember instantly connecting with them as a listener because they were funny, smart, and their knowledge and curiosity had me tuning in every episode. And I was really impressed because they were young fans, but they were always focused on canon, which was something that I hadn't yet heard a lot of as far Potter podcasts went.
Yep.
And just in the fandom in general, I find a lot of people were getting caught up with all of the other stuff, you know, and canon was something I was really thirsting for more of. So I was listening to their podcast and I loved it. So whether I was doing chores at home with them blaring in my ears or working out at the gym, I'd often find myself talking with them or back to them, answering their questions or asking new ones, basically into thin air. I might have written in maybe once or twice. I can't really remember. I'm usually pretty shy about that stuff. But when it came down to it, I really would have loved to join the conversation. So finally, Adam interviewed me when a position became available. He's in high school. I'm the teacher. And yet I'm being interviewed. It just seems so weird to me. But we had a great chat with a lot of laughs. And despite the age difference and different perspectives, we got along right away. And he decided that I was in. And I remember meeting Emily and Chio thinking, like, Emily's in Australia, Chio's in Brazil, and then there was Heather in New York, and then later on, Sarah in Florida. But that's what I loved about this fandom. You know, it doesn't matter where you're at in the world. It doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter what age you are, your background, personality, your other interests, your culture, your gender, whatever. You know, Harry Potter, it really brings people together and allows us to befriend one another in spite of those things that would have otherwise maybe kept us apart. So I know it's been said many times before, but what other fandom has done that to such a vast degree?
None.
And I really...
None. Absolutely none.
I don't know of one. From the moment I cracked the first book, watched the first film, Harry Potter has always been a great escape for me, a way to just nerd out, have fun, forget about all the complications of being in university in the beginning, and then later, all the complexities of being an adult, but not just really escaping from those things, but kind of being able to take away from the series, you know, through rereads, reinterpretations, through conversations, fandom stuff like essays, art, articles, videos, the whole fandom in general, you know, through all of our discussion on here, it's just always brought me a lot of happiness, peace, serenity, and especially when I needed it. So it's always just been there. And podcasting with all of you has allowed me to enjoy my favorite fantasy world at a new level.
Yeah.
Interacting with you guys, having these in-depth discussions has brought out a part of me I usually, you know, to a degree, keep to myself. So it's been really fun and freeing just to express that with other people who are just as nerdy as me, just as passionate as me about a boy wizard.
About a boy wizard.
And I hope we always are. So thanks, everyone, for all the laughs, all the discussion, and the friendship. It's been great.
Oh, Holly.
Oh, Holly, you're awesome.
I'm so glad I was a part of that.
I know, me too. Just, that was awesome, Holly. And just, she's so honest, you know, just so, just heartfelt. And God, what is not to love about Holly? My gosh.
Yeah. Right.
It's great.
She's the teacher we all wish we had.
Yeah.
And not the truth. It makes, doesn't it make you wonder? Sorry, Holly, but it does make me wonder what it would be like to be a student in one of your classes.
I know, I'm so jealous. It does. We should go crash one.
We should,
I know,
we should go
awesome.
To Hong Kong and just crash. Yeah. But like, yeah, I wonder what she's like as a teacher, because like we're just so used to her being like a podcaster, you know.
Yeah.
So I wonder what she's like when she actually teaches.
Well, but if she brings her spirit nice and honesty to it, then I'm sure she's the greatest.
I'm sure she does. I'm sure she does. Yeah. And so thank you so much, Holly. That was great. It was great to have you on the show and bring your your English teacher views, your kindness, your honesty, and just your really great like insights to the books, but with this like professional literature spin to it, you know. Yeah. And it was just it was great to have you on. Even though you were on for a short time, it was really awesome to have you on the show with us. Mm-hmm. So yeah, does anybody else want to say anything to Holly?
Yes, Holly, I need you to know that I used to listen to you as well when you were on this podcast and before I was, and I used to also have conversations with you. So I just want you to know you're not alone in that.
Holly, thank you for all of your insights into Harry Potter and life in general, and your never-ending fountain of knowledge and wisdom. And just thank you so much for all the work that you've done.
And I think it's amazing that you kept your farewell under 10 minutes. That is really remarkable.
What a goof.
And yeah, it's been great.
You are so funny.
Thank you for that. And no, it's been great. And, you know, I'm going to miss recording with, you know, Holly and all of you guys. But that comes a little bit
mostly
later.
Holly.
Mostly Holly. Screw us. You know, Holly's the one you need to miss. Oh, that was great. Okay, let's get on to the next MP3, or voice recording, which is a chicken soup from a very dedicated listener who I remember has been, like, literally listening to us from the very first episode. His name is Ricky. He's from Australia. And I think we should all, let's all listen to his email, or his MP3, sorry. And this is what he has to say.
Dear Potter Pensive Podcast, it's hard to believe that this means it's goodbye. I knew it would end one day, and a couple of the hiatuses made me think that it would end before you got to the end of the series. However, congratulations on finishing the series.
Thank you.
Thanks.
It's been a whole 4 years and a month to get to this point. However, you stuck through. As a listener from way back near the end of the Chamber of Secrets, I can say that there have been many things that I remember, like the pre-shows to the movies, which have suddenly disappeared from the internet, the New Year Day clue hunts, the hosts growing and changing, yep, and the funny parts, which stuck in many people's heads. The first funny part that I remember was Energizer Bunny Pinks's, to which I'll probably get a groan from heaven. Next came things like Little Emo Hogwarts Chick, and I remember the class comparison of the podcasters at the start of episode 12.
Yep.
And then came the first episode where Adam was away and chaos ensued. Of course, how do we forget Professor Mickey G went to the Hut and
That's all right. The
bazookas that happened around 30 episodes, I think. And the swear words that accidentally got through editing a couple of times. And I just remember on one of the most recent episodes, the commentary for Deathly Hallows 1, where Heather said, shoot. I really miss having new episodes to download and listen to. This is probably me begging for you guys to start a new podcast, but I know the archives are always going to be there. Adam, I remember hearing your voice for the first time, and it deepened only slightly over the podcast. I love when your Canadian accent sometimes occasionally came through when you were speaking. Heather, I remember that it was sad when you left, but then when you came back, I was happy, but conflicted because Emily was leaving. And your story on how you discovered Harry Potter was quite interesting. I don't think that many people probably have a story like that. Cheer. It was interesting to hear your perspective on things, and whenever I saw you listed as one of the hosts of an episode, I knew that I was probably going to die laughing, at least.
Awesome.
Emily. It was interesting to hear an Australian accent and a view on the series. I remember when I was listening to Mugglecast, and then suddenly a wild Emily appears.
Yeah.
I was sad to hear you going, but I'm glad that you, hopefully, made it back for the last episode.
Oh,
Holly, English teacher, Canadian, maternal theming, what was not to love about you? Even though you did have one of the shorter run things as a host, I'm still glad that you did come on, and I did love hearing you. Sarah, you may have taken over your position from Holly, and you may not have known that when they were calling you randomly that you were going to be a host, but in my opinion, you came into your own right fairly soon from there. I'm sure that I've missed a few hosts that have come up a couple of times. I'm going to miss every one of you, in your own ways. The person who ran the Potterpensive Facebook account, I'm fairly sure I know who this is, but I'm not going to say because I could be wrong. The random Glee Twitter conversations that I had with Emily, I think I was one of those people. I'm not sure if I got the right Emily. Anyway, I'm fairly sure it was your Twitter listed on the website, which kind of sounds stalkerish. Occasionally getting things that I'd sent in read on the podcast and all the other things too. I'm not going to forget randomly laughing in the middle of class due to things that were said because I stayed up last night listening to the newest episode or having to leave a specific area to laugh it out and getting a little bit emotional when I realized that the end was coming. Oh. I don't want to have to end this letter, but I know that I could probably go on much longer. I can't believe this is goodbye. You had a good run, Potterpensive, and I'll never forget it. Lots of love from Ricky.
Oh, I have chills again.
Yeah, me too.
Ricky, thank you so much. That was so awesome.
That was so great to hear. Thank you.
Yeah, that was so great. And you know what? I just want to point out that even though my voice did deepen only slightly, it did deepen, okay? That's the whole point, all right? I need to smoke some more cigarettes.
I think he meant that it was deep to begin with, that had matured.
That's right. But that was awesome. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for bringing back so many funny things that we did and, you know, putting us into throwback city once again.
Adam, I'm going to keep a count of how many times you say throwback.
Throwback. Do I say it a lot? Do I say it too many times? Thanks for the memories, Ricky. That was really awesome. And you've been a very dedicated listener, I guess. And I think we read out a few emails that he sent to us over the
last few
years.
I think so, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's really great. I'm really happy that we made you laugh and we made you go to separate areas so that you could laugh it out. Which is pretty awesome. Awesome. And thanks for all of your personal sentiments to us. That really means a lot. And I'm really happy that we did this for you and that you were able to connect with us somehow. And does anybody have anything they want to say to Ricky?
It was longer than, you know, Holly's.
Than Holly's?
OTO.
But it was worth every second.
Yes. Thank you for your never-ending support.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for that. And I love the way that you did every host, you had something about them
really
or for them. And that was so awesome. And thanks for taking the time to do that.
I got chills listening to that. I got chills.
I did too.
Awesome. I really did too.
Yeah. It is so surreal to a difference like this in people's lives.
I know.
I'm
utterly baffled and thankful.
And you guys, Heather and Adam, you guys started this. You guys have to feel so much crazier than I do, and I feel insane.
What is to say other than, I do. I feel like it's been surreal that I even did this, that I even sat down in my little room in Clearwater in the middle of nowhere, and I made this podcast with you guys, and it's been incredible. Heather, what were you going to say?
It feels like yesterday I was just, in my dark basement in the middle of the night, and Adam's like, we should start a podcast with your deep voice.
Oh, yes, that's my Schwarzenegger voice. That's right.
I'm so humbled at the fact that, we're getting all these letters, and we have throughout these past 4 years, saying that we've made such an impact on people's lives. This is something that I never thought I would be able to do, but just hearing all of these letters and testaments to just the lives that we've changed, it's so completely humbling and honoring, and I'm thankful that I was able to do that in some small way.
I know. I'm so proud of us, and I'm thankful that we were able to do that. And I feel like it is not an exaggeration to say that we've changed people's lives. We literally have, from what I'm getting from these emails, we literally have had an influence on people's lives, you know? So, and it just, it makes me, like I said before the recording, like there were some times when we got to, went to do a recording and it was like, oh God, we have to do another recording, but you know, we can get through it. But like, this makes it all worth it. Those hours of editing where I thought it would never end, like just.
I still don't quite believe that it's real. Like,
I know.
We're in a textbook.
I know. Yeah, can I just bring that up really quick? We didn't say that yet. Yeah, you guys, when you're on Amazon next time, look up Media Studies, The Essential Resource, Second Edition. And we are, like, there's a little description of us and a snapshot of one of our blog posts. And it's been put in this textbook in the chapter on fans and Harry and his fans. So that was really awesome. I talked with the representative from Routledge about a year ago now, and he said that they were going to do that, but it's still, it's like incredible to actually see it.
And that, that's the stuff that doesn't seem real. And I know this is on a totally different scale, but I wonder myself, like when somebody makes it big, whether it's a band or a movie or whatever, do they kind of have that too, where it's like, but that's not real.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, probably.
Before we get into the last two chapters of the Harry Potter series, I just wanted to bring up something that we were discussing on the Facebook chat, you know, over the past couple of days. It's a very serious thing. A few years ago, or a couple years ago, I think, we had an email from a mother whose son, his name was Jack, and he passed away of, he had some illness. He passed away of cancer, I think it was, and he liked to listen to us. And so he listened to us in, I guess his, I mean, from what her email said, like it sounded like he listened to us in his final days, I guess, right? And so she was basically thanking us for bringing a bit of happiness to his life before, you know, that sad things happened. So I just wanted to let the family of Jack know that, you know, we remember you and we think about it a lot. And it really has had a, over the past few years, like it's really had a big impact on us. And it's saddened us, but it's also really inspired us too. And it's a really overwhelming story. And I just wanted to let you know that we're thinking of you and you're still in our thoughts. All right. So before we get into chapters, we've now come to the part of the show where we would like to play some of the or some of your favorite, weirdest, funniest, quirkiest, most standout moments of the podcast over the last 4 years. And so we've compiled a list, and I've extracted the clips, and it's about a 15-minute long compilation, and we really hope you enjoy listening to some of the memories that we've had, some of the good times that we've had since the beginning of the show. So enjoy.
Go up and get
a ladder.
Yeah.
Well, then we find ourselves in the reptile house with a gigantic, I think it was a Burmese python.
Yep, I think so.
Which are illegal to own in the United States. Do not go out and try and buy a Burmese python just because they had one in the Harry Potter books. You will not be able to get one.
If you're that diehard.
Okay, there was someone who had... Okay, I do Science Olympiad, which is like a science competition thing, and one of the events was reptiles and amphibians, so we were at a local reptile place, and they were telling us stories about how they found a Burmese python in Pennsylvania, a state nearby mine, and that someone was just owning, like, I think he might have been in an apartment. He had a Burmese python in his apartment.
Oh my gosh.
In Pennsylvania. And they're just like, oh my God, do you know what a Burmese python is?
Get it out.
Yeah.
Put it down or something.
No, don't put them down. They're endangered.
Oh yeah.
I think just keep them safe and don't keep them in apartments. That's my public service message. Do not keep, like, very large snakes in your apartment.
Especially ones that take up your whole apartment.
Yes, especially those. Yeah, it is.
But that makes me think, though. It seems like there... I know there are tons more phoenixes in the series, but it seems like there's only one phoenix in the wizarding world, because Fox is there. I don't know. It's
well,
kind of
have
a...
to be in the wizarding world. But...
Yeah, it's kind of a dumb... Kind of a
what
dumb...
don't need to be, because phoenixes, they, like, just keep regenerating, excuse me as I use a Doctor Who term.
Yeah.
R.I.P. 10th Doctor, but anyways, just, they keep on going. They're like little Energizer Phoenixes. Little Energizer Bunny Phoenix. So do they really have to, like, reproduce or anything? I mean, and where did little Fox go?
Little Energizer Bunny Phoenixes.
I want a t-shirt that says that.
Oh my goodness. We will have to make a t-shirt. we'll make a t-shirt. We'll sell it. No, I'm just kidding. We won't sell it. But that is amazing. That is Facebook right there. Anyways. Well, hello again. You're listening to the Potter Pensive Podcast with Heather and Adam. I'm Adam.
And I'm Heather.
And Heather, it's a pretty special day today.
Yeah, what's going on?
We've recruited some foreigners from far away distant lands to record with us today. Foreigners that happen to love Harry Potter, so yep. That's just a bonus. First off, we have Chio, so say hi, Chio.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Chio, and I never got paid for that website.
That we're doing it for free.
And Chio is the graphic designer extraordinaire of the Potter Pensive website. Excellent job.
Yay!
Yay! Yes,
thank you. Round of applause.
Very excellent. So, and then we also like to introduce Emily Dillon from Melbourne, Australia. Say hi.
Hi, everybody. I'm the resident Australian on the podcast now, I suppose. I'm 18 years old. I've just graduated high school. I've got crazy exams going on at the moment, and I love Harry Potter.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Have we read out any of Emily's emails, Heather?
Yeah, I think so.
I think we did.
Yeah, you right at the beginning sometime. Right sometime. At the start.
And lastly, we have Holly from my native land of Canada, Nova Scotia, Canada. So say hello, Holly.
Hi, guys. I'm Holly, and I'm from Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, which is actually an island that is part of Nova Scotia. So I guess I'm the other Canadian. And I'm
actually...
Yay! Back, everybody, to Potter Pensive Podcast episode number 20. And as you can tell immediately already by the sound of my dulcet tones, we are having an Adam-free show this week. Who's excited? I have Chio and Holly with me. Everyone celebrate!
Yay!
So it's officially the first Potter Pensive Podcast episode without Adam. What do you guys feel about that?
I feel relieved.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good, too.
We can do whatever the hell we want with this whole episode. It's just gonna... All hell's gonna break loose, really, isn't it?
Definitely.
Well, speaking of posters, Chio, did you notice that Daniel Radcliffe got a bit of a shout-out on the Glee finale last night?
I saw that.
Yes, it was very exciting. Okay, for those of you who don't know, Glee's probably my second highest obsession other than Harry Potter. Anyway, long story short, they were filming in New York in Times Square, and there was this massive, huge poster with Daniel Radcliffe, like, smiling up into the heavens for his How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And it was there all the time, okay? It showed up, like, four or five different times. And I'm just saying that episode was amazing.
Yeah, it's a good day for Finchel fans, right?
Oh my god, okay. I think I ship Finchel almost as much as I ship Ron and Hermione. And I said almost. And that is saying a lot. And I was speaking to one of my other friends the other day, and I was saying, look, these are my three couples. It's Ron and Hermione, Ross and Rachel, and Finn and Rachel. They're just like, they're awesome.
Ah.
It was very, very exciting.
Adam is going to be so mad at you.
Okay, no, I just had
He's not here.
He's not
we
here.
We can do whatever we want.
We can do whatever the hell we want. I could talk about that Glee finale for hours, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to. I promise I'm not going to.
Unexpected task. And yes, it is a task. Anyways, Professor Mickey G, that's my...
You're such a dork.
For her. Mickey G. Mickey G, Mickey G. You know, you can put that into a rap, too. Mickey G went to the hut. Anyways. I shouldn't have said that. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Can you just mute your mic?
No.
Just mute your mic, please. Mute it. There we
you
go.
You gotta put Mickey G. No, that's the rapper.
Okay,
that's the
God.
Rapper
okay.
Name.
Oh my god. So Professor McGonagall is explaining to her Transfiguration class all about the Yule Ball. And she's like, Professor Mickey G, Mickey G, Mickey G, Professor Mickey G
went to the hut.
Professor Mickey G, Mickey G, Mickey G, Professor Mickey G
went to the hut.
It is a dance, basically. Remember in the movie where she's like...
So, then Sirius changes the topic a little bit, and he goes on to discuss a weapon that Voldemort wants. And Harry's kind of like, well, what kind of weapon is this? Is it something that, you know, will give him more power and all that kind of stuff? And before anything is let out, Mrs. Weasley silences it. She's like, that's enough. No more of this. And we don't really get to find out what the weapon is, but we do know that the weapon is...
A bazooka.
A bazooka, yeah, totally.
How awesome would that be?
All right, without further ado, until next episode, Nitwit.
Blubber.
Oddment.
Bazooka.
Everybody clap.
That was beautiful.
See you later, guys.
See ya, bye.
Bye. Listeners, we're going to have another contest like we did last year. So last year, within the series of blog posts, there were hidden links to clues, and you had to put those clues together to come up with the answer, and then you could win...
A prize.
And
this year, you won't believe this... Adam is actually going to give you guys his PJs. It's unbelievable. It's like a Harry Potter PJ. It's amazing. Really.
No, I'm not. I'm sorry. I love my PJs. Okay, so just so everybody knows... Sarah, who's a blogger on the Potter Pensive website and has made an appearance on a couple of episodes, is now online. She doesn't know that we're recording, and I have just type chatted with her to ask her if she can turn on her recording. We as a podcast have discussed our now vacant hosting position because Holly has left, and we would really like her to come onto the show as a regular podcast host. So when I call her up here, we're just going to make a spectacle of it, and we're going to ask her live on the show if she will join our podcasting team as a regular.
Awesome.
I think she's going to flip
That's
out.
That's so cool.
So here we go.
How exciting.
Live. Yeah. Live reaction.
Live. We're going to make this live. She's going to flip out, you guys. She's going to flip.
I know.
Awesome.
It's going to be very exciting.
This is going to be exciting.
Shut up.
This is can't be better timing. Here, I'm adding her. Don't say anything. Hey, Sarah.
Hello.
Hey,
Hi.
Are you? Do you have your recording on?
I do.
You do. So, welcome. We're doing our Deathly Hallows review show.
Awesome.
And we'd like you to be on it. We're talking about the movie, and we want you to be on it right now, if you have
Yay.
Time.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yay! So we've got Emily. We've got Emily and Heather and Chio and me on. And also Seth. We've got some...
Hey.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
So we've got a little bit of news for you, Sarah.
Okay.
This is perfect. You're recording this, right?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, perfect. So this morning, Holly left me an email, and she said that she's going to Hong Kong and she's hiatusing from the podcast. So, end of story. We'd like you to come on as a regular podcaster.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Oh my god, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love Holly, but that's great. Of
so would,
course.
Are you willing? Would you be free? You're not going to Hong Kong or anything?
No, not anytime soon anyway.
Awesome. No. Also in this book, when I think it's when oh crap, wow. I totally forgot the name of the centaur. The teacher. Oh my god.
Oh. What's his name?
How could I forget
that? You say that, and I'm like, blank.
How could I forget that? Oh my
god. I don't know, but if it makes you feel any better, I can't remember it right now, and I can't reach my other book.
Okay, that makes me feel better. That's really sad. Bane.
Maurice.
What?
Maurice? No?
No.
I don't think that is.
Oh, okay.
Bane sounded
familiar. I can't believe
Wow,
we are not very good Harry Potter fans.
Geo, Google.
I'm going there.
Is this actually happening? Did we all just forget the name of this centaur?
Yeah.
Did we all just forget it?
I swear. Is it the...
This is
Firenze.
Firenze,
oh,
yeah.
F-I-R-E-N-Z-E.
Yes.
There you go.
Like,
you need to leave.
We were totally off.
Adam, you have to edit that, please. You're going to make us look completely bad as Harry Potter
fans.
It
was Maurice. Maurice.
No, it was you.
Maurice the centaur.
I'm a centaur? What? What are you talking about?
Yeah, right. What are we, like, Harry Potter amateurs? Give me a break.
Sometimes I really think I feel like I am.
Wow.
I think you can leave that in.
No, I'm thinking.
No, no way. No.
I want to put it in the bloopers.
But oh, fine, God. But edit it out of the episode, please. That's so embarrassing.
Okay, I will. I will. But can I put it in as the bloopers with people?
Yes. Go ahead. Do it.
And what we're gonna do is we're gonna say 3, 2, 1, play. And on play, that's when you hit play. Obviously. All right.
It's one and then play, or it's play it's, on one?
It's one and then play.
Okay.
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 Here we go. Three.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's go.
And remember, you guys, from this point on, there's no editing, so try and keep your curse words to a minimum. I'm not saying that you curse all the time.
Yeah, Chio, quit cussing.
Yeah, I know.
Because I can't edit this shit.
All right, sorry. Got it.
Okay,
you can't right now, right? That's why you're.
I can't now. Yeah. Live from New York. It's the Potter Pensive Podcast! What?
Featuring Adam!
And Heather!
And Chio!
Yeah, hey.
So, before we started recording, Chio, we were making fun of SNL, and Chio said he wished that he was in New York. And
no, yeah. He wished that he was
no,
New
he wished
York.
That. No,
I he's in there. He just wanted to be New York.
So we decided to, what is the right word? Simulate the whole New York experience for him on the show today.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There you go, Chio.
Thanks.
I hope you're happy. All right, and we're back. On a more upbeat note, let's get into the last couple chapters of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Really upbeat? I mean, I guess
yeah,
it is, but...
it's, I mean... Hey, we're not bringing depression here, I swear to God.
No dementia.
Except for it's the last. It's now the last Harry Potter book, the last Harry Potter movie, the last two chapters, the last Potter Pensive. I mean, it's a bit overwhelming.
Yeah. It is.
There are way too many, like, lasts in this fandom. I can't handle it anymore.
This is the last time I'm saying this, by the way. Oh, I think it's time that we should get into some chapters. Who's up? Oh,
no, not time.
Oh, it's me.
Not time.
It's not time? We can't do this? Okay. No, I can't do this. Oh, Adam.
I'm ready.
Is it your chapter? Well, take her away, Adam.
Take her away, Adam.
Take her away, Adam.
Thank you.
Take her away, Ern.
That was so perfect. Why haven't we said that? Why haven't we said that these last 4 years?
I don't know, but that was perfect timing.
That was great.
Chapter 36. The Flaw in the Plan.
So we've now come to chapter 36 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. It's entitled The Flaw in the Plan, and it is the last chapter of the book before the epilogue, which Heather will be taking.
Yep.
And so basically what happens is it's right when Harry wakes up, right? He's just been to King's Cross, and he's just talked to Dumbledore, and we've learned a lot of things about Dumbledore in that last chapter. And now Harry wakes up, and he knows what he has to do, and he's lying on the ground in the middle of the forest with all of these Death Eaters around.
Now he's lying on the cold, hard ground.
Ah! That's right. Yeah, he's lying on the cold, hard ground. Yeah, and then Taylor Swift popped out from behind a tree, started serenading them, you know? So
this is awesome.
Oh god.
That's a good moment.
Yeah. And so yeah, and Harry is lying there and he kind of opens up his eyelids and Voldemort is lying on the ground as well. And we know that this is because he just destroyed a piece of himself because Harry is a Horcrux, right? And it
Harry's a Horcrux? Right?
Oh my gosh, revelation,
what?
Right?
No.
No way. And so, yeah, and so Harry is just, he doesn't dare move, he doesn't dare get up, nothing. He just lies there limp, and Voldemort gets up and turns to Bellatrix and says, get off me, you vermin. And
yes, get off me, you vermin.
Had to get that in there at one point. and Bellatrix is like, no, that's my line, what the hell? And then...
that's awesome.
And then... And then, okay, this is something that's really curious to me. Voldemort tells Narcissa to go and see if Harry is alive. Is he alive? And he tells Narcissa to go and see. But I don't understand why he did that. Why didn't he just go himself? Why did he have to get somebody else to go and check?
I think, right? He was somebody afraid.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was afraid. I think something just happened that he didn't expect to happen at all.
No, he didn't think to be knocked back on the ground or anything. I don't know how Voldemort felt when Harry died. But it definitely wasn't what he was expecting.
Yeah, right. He probably felt pain. He probably felt that piece of soul that was, that shard that was destroyed, right?
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because I love how different people have destroyed all of the Horcruxes, you know? Harry destroyed the diary. We've got Hermione and the cup. We've got Ron and the locket. We've got Neville and the snake. We've got... Voldemort even helped himself by destroying the part in Harry, right? And it just shows that Harry is only as good as the sum of his parts, right? Yep. Like, of his of the people around him.
And that's kind of what the Sorting Hat has been singing for the past few years. Like, that's you're only as strong as you are when you're united.
That's right. And so, that... It's one of those lessons of the story that really resounds with us, you know? Like... We need, you know, there's nothing greater than teamwork and friendship almost, you know? Or that's one of the things that there's nothing greater, you know? And it's a good thing. And it really shows Harry that he can't do everything alone, you know? Even though he wants to, he can't. And he finally realizes that he hasn't done this alone and he's been very grateful that everybody has helped him. And so anyways, he's lying on the ground. He's lying on the cold, hard ground. And Narcissa walks up and feels his pulse and puts her hand on his chest to feel a pulse. And she finds out that he's still alive and she just barely utters, is Draco alive? Is he in the castle? And Harry breathes, yes. He says yes,
basically. She wasn't even surprised.
No, she wasn't. Like... I imagine her just keeping a straight face the entire time.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Poker face all the way.
Didn't even faze her. And Harry says yes, and she stands up and says, he's dead. They did a very good job in the movie. And all of the Death Eaters cheer, and Voldemort is cheering, and, aha, I've killed the boy. And it's really interesting. The boy who died.
Yeah.
And he crucios Harry, but Harry doesn't feel anything. Harry's body rises from the ground, and he literally doesn't feel anything. He just kind of tousled around a bit with the wand, right? And that is because the wand that's being used on Harry is actually Harry's wand, because he's the rightful owner of the Elder Wand at that point, right? Mm-hmm. And the Elder Wand never turns on its master, so...
You're right, I never thought of that before.
That's right, and Voldemort's all like, oh, I'm causing it. If he were alive, I'd be causing him pain right now, but he's dead, so we can't feel it, and, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? So, that's that. And I just find this parallel very interesting. You know, just as Lily sacrificed her own life to protect Harry against Voldemort, Harry's willingness to meet death in the forest protected those who were battling Voldemort in the final battle here, right? Yep. So he died for it.
Out of love as well.
That's right. He's doing it out of love and the goodness of his character. And this also was evident in, you know, the curses that Voldemort, like in the final battle scene when Voldemort's throwing those curses and they are ineffective to Harry, because it was like, I don't know, it was like a mix of like Harry dying for everybody, and also that the Elder Wand was his. That nothing worked on him.
I always thought it was, you know, the him dying for everyone. But you made a good point with, you know, the Elder Wand.
The Elder Wand.
Same to you. So, you've convinced me.
Did I convince you? Thank God. Thank God. No, just kidding. The final episode, I finally convinced Heather. Thank the Lord. It happened once.
One time. Oh, in the whole run.
Surely it's happened before.
Probably. I just forget. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's... and essentially right now, Harry's invincible. Like, really. Like, he seems invincible right now. Like
against Voldemort.
Voldemort, exactly, yeah. And it's like it reminds me of those 2D Mario games where you get the mushroom and you run around with the sparkles and nobody can harm you.
It's exactly like that.
It's the star.
It's like that.
When you get the star.
That's right. The star, yeah. Harry's the star right now, so... That's my interliterature comparison for this episode. It's really deep, hey?
I miss Holly.
Okay, well, I don't think I convinced Chio. So, yeah. So anyways, Voldemort says, who will drag the body back? Because they have to go back to Hogwarts. And who's going to drag the body? And they make Hagrid pick up Harry. And still, Harry doesn't dare move. He lies there limp. As, you know, like, just limp, right? And Hagrid picks him up, and Hagrid is just in shock, and he's crying, and as they're walking back to the castle, Hagrid sees Bane, which is a centaur. See, I remembered Bane's name, but I forgot Firenze's. I can't believe that. God. Anyways, and he shouts to Bane, he says, are you happy now that you didn't fight with us? You know, the boy who lived is now dead, and you're standing there, you know, on your horse butt, not doing anything.
On your horse butt.
You're sitting on your horse butt for, you know, lack of a more explicit term.
Can we say arse?
Horse's arse, right?
There you go. I like it.
Yeah, that's better. It's more satisfying.
I agree.
Still not quite there, but almost. Close. And the light, the morning is starting to peek through, and they're going back to the castle, and I just find this part so depressing almost, like... You know how, has any of you, like, ever thought to yourself, I wonder, you know, who would cry at my funeral if I, like, you hear that, like, on TV and in movies, right? And I won't, you know,
like,
just the whole notion of,
what would they say, you know?
What would they say, you know, like that? And that's kind of what we get to see here with Harry, right? Because everybody sees Harry limp in Hagrid's arms, and the first thing we hear is, or Harry hears, is McGonagall, and I got chills when I read this, and it wasn't like the good fuzzy chills. It was like the terrified chills, because it said that McGonagall screamed no, but it was unlike any sound Harry thought she could ever produce. She was so heartbroken and mortified that this happened, right?
Because McGonagall was the last person that Harry would ever expect to make a noise like that.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And
we never really see McGonagall like lose it.
Exactly.
No. Yeah.
She just did.
Yeah, she just did. That's the one time that we heard her lose it. And then of course, you know, Ron and Hermione come out and they do the same thing, and Harry just has to Harry has to lie there, you know, playing dead, right? And Ginny comes out and no, Harry, no, no. And basically the Death Eaters have their little taunt fest right there, and Voldemort's all, we killed the boy and there's nothing left, and, you know, you had so much faith in him and we killed him. Oh, and he lies. He says that Harry died while trying to run away and save his life.
Like, anyone would believe that.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
How do you think,
like,
anyone
no
would
hope
even
for
consider
Harry's
that?
Life. Let's be real.
Nobody believes that. That's ridiculous. Yeah. So...
Well, some people probably... did believe that.
Some of the Slytherins? Okay, I won't stereotype the Slytherins.
It's possible, you know?
Yeah.
We've seen how easily...
they're swayed.
You know, people change their mind during the series.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
It's possible that some would believe.
Yeah, I agree. And and then Harry hears a rustling, like somebody running toward them, and Voldemort... shoots a spell at Neville, who ran at Voldemort. Neville freaking ran at Voldemort.
Go.
You know?
Yeah.
Like the boy who was afraid to stand up to Crabbe and Goyle.
That's right.
Stands, yeah. up to Voldemort.
And Voldemort says, "Who are you?" And Bellatrix says, "Well, that's Neville Longbottom." And everybody laughs. And you know, I really... Neville doesn't have the speech that he has in the movie, though, right? Like, he died, Harry died for us, you know? And, you know, I really like that they did that in the movie, but I'm happy with the way the book is, just because it's the book, right? But,
I like both anyways. Of them. You're like, they're just both great.
I do,
they're both great. Yeah, they both are. They're both great. You know, in the movie, Neville kind of limped forward, but in the book, Neville, like, charged at Voldemort, right? So it was very, really satisfying and, you know, a lot of respect for that character. And then Voldemort calls the sorting hat from Dumbledore's office, and the hat flies down to Voldemort's hands. Oh, no, it flies down to Neville's head, sorry. Yeah. And Voldemort latches the sorting hat onto Neville's head, and then he bursts the sorting hat into flames on Neville's head in front of everybody. Like, what is... Like, that's horrible.
Horrible. That's so terrible.
But, you know what? Nothing is better than this. The true Gryffindor that Neville is, you know, called the sword from the sorting hat, right? And all chaos breaks out, basically, and Neville pulls the sword from the sorting hat and chops off Nagini's head.
Excellent.
Hooray!
Woo! Go so Neville. Awesome.
And,
like,
I mean, this is...
So be it.
Yeah, so be it. And this is the ultimate Neville. This is...
The ultimate, you know, Neville.
The ultimate Neville, that's right. And he ran at Voldemort, he ran at him, he proved that he was a true Gryffindor. It's only a true Gryffindor would have the guts to do that, right?
That is true. Maybe that's why this sword, you know...
Oh, yeah, I think that's why.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because only a true Gryffindor.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Heather was saying.
Yeah.
and he kills the final Horcrux. And Harry takes this opportunity to... Oh, yes, because Harry is placed on the ground in front of Voldemort's feet, right? Where his rightful place is, according to Voldemort. And Harry throws on the cloak, and he runs into the castle. And Hagrid's like, "Where is Harry? Where is Harry?" And all chaos, you know, erupts. All hell breaks loose. And they have... Oh, that's right. The centaurs from the forest burst through, and they start fighting. And there's, like, the second mini battle at the end here where everybody is fighting, right? Because Hagrid made the centaurs feel bad enough that they came and fought in the end, which was great. And then we get to a very, very heartfelt moment where the house elves from the kitchen, led by Creature,
run out of the...
He's got Regulus's locket around his neck, and they run out of the kitchen with their knives and forks and things, and Creature is shouting, "Fight for my master!" And it's just a really great...
awesome.
So cool. Really great. They are free elves. So that's...
Which
really...
master do you guys think he's referring to?
Master, Harry? I think he's referring to Regulus. Because I think he says...
Yeah, I think
Regulus.
He actually mentioned Regulus.
Yeah.
But I think that he also still feels the allegiance to Harry.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. And so Harry's kind of running around this battle, right? Voldemort's now inside the Great Hall, and he's running around this battle with this cloak on so that nobody can see him. And then we get to one of the most BA parts in Harry Potter series. Oh, did I forget something?
I was just looking at my book and seeing, like, the list of all, like, who was all the Death Eaters that were, like, you know, defeated by who. And I just saw that it was Arthur and Percy, pouring thickness. Arthur and Percy working together to take down the Minister of Magic. Both ministry employees, father and son, who had been, like, just on complete opposite sides for the longest time. And now they came together to defeat the man that had infiltrated, you know, their place of work.
Oh,
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, no
pretty
kidding.
Awesome parallel.
That is really cool.
That's cool.
You guys are pointing out things that, you know, I've never noticed before. So this is a good
step
episode.
Step it up to you.
I know, right?
I know. It's good. Job, it's good. We're marking the begin. Yeah. This is... Never mind. I won't finish that joke. That was just mean. I was going to make a reference to, like, we need to do better next time, but then...
Oh. Oh. Adam.
So anyways, Harry's running around with this cloak on his head, and we get to one of the most BA parts in the entire series now, and it's the fight between Molly Weasley and Bellatrix. And Bellatrix is at first fighting Luna and Ginny and who else was it? I think it was
Hermione.
Neville. Hermione, that's what it was. So those three girls, she's fighting with them, and she shoots a killing curse, and it just misses Ginny, just misses her by, like, a hair, just misses her. And that's it. Molly has just, like, that is it. And she bursts in, she goes all BA, and she says the line that I couldn't believe I read in the series ever. She says in all caps, Molly Weasley, not my daughter, you bitch. And I thought, screw the Dumbledore quote, screw all of those life lesson quotes that we all love from the series. There is no quote better from the Harry Potter series than my daughter, you bitch.
I'm getting that one tattooed.
Oh, I think that would be a good tattoo as well. Yep.
Matching tattoo, Sarah.
Not my daughter.
We can totally do that.
Yes.
I know. And I just, we never did this on the episode, but right now I'm going to add in some clips, two clips. I'm going to add in Jim Dale's version and Stephen Fry's version of Not My Daughter, You Bitch. And I just
want
to.
Can you do them both anyway?
Oh, you want me? Oh, do you want me to say them?
Please.
Okay, yes. This is what I'll do. I will give my impersonation of each of them. And after each one, I will actually play the audio clip from the audiobook. And I will let the listeners decide how close I got, okay? So, Jim Dale... Oh, God, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this anymore. Crap. Okay, Jim Dale's version is... Not my daughter, you bitch!
Not my daughter, you bitch!
And then Stephen Fry's version is... Not my daughter, you bitch!
Not my daughter, you bitch!
You and your deep voice.
Nice.
Okay, back to the book. You know, they have this duel and Molly Weasley's full out, you know, they fight to kill, you know, and and how is Molly Weasley able to defeat Bellatrix, you know, this extremely powerful and evil witch?
Because as I said before, cooking and like house like spells and like that, they're actually some of the most advanced magic. And she's been doing this for years and years and years.
You never underestimate the fury of a mother.
That too.
Yeah. A mother's scorn?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what the thing is?
Yeah,
the quote
right?
is? Yeah. But like, could you say anything more, like, to her character? Like, I get that she's a great cook, but, you know.
She's like, super talented and super passionate and super loving and, like, defensive of her children, as we saw in... Even in Order of the Phoenix, when Sirius was going to tell Harry all of these things that Molly like didn't think that he was ready for, she just wanted to shelter her children always.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Well, and I also think that, you know, the Potter series has, you know, the most varied number of powerful female characters.
Yep. Yes, I agree.
And,
yeah.
You know, and Molly's just. One more, and she's awesome. And I think Joe responded to, you know, that answer, and she was like, you know, why everyone assumed that she's not a powerful witch? She is a powerful witch, and, you know, she was defending Ginny. So, I don't know, it just goes to show the all of the series we hear about, you know, moms being protected, and this is just another example, and it's great and awesome and, you know, well worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. So way to go, Molly Weasley, for showing us. And okay, are Molly Weasley's actions an act of war or personal revenge, do you think? Like, what are they?
In that moment, I think personal revenge.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. So in that moment, I think they were, you know, personal revenge. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Well, yeah, very mixed together, you know. But
yeah,
she just reacted. She didn't even.
I mean, in this moment, she's not even thinking about the war. She's just thinking about her children. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think that she would have been as passionate about destroying Bellatrix if it hadn't have been for what happened.
Yeah.
So I absolutely think it's personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So now we're going to get to the final confrontation between Harry and Voldemort. Harry throws off his invisibility cloak, and everybody sees that he is, you know, the Christ figure.
Because he had to cast a shield charm to protect Molly.
That's right, yes. And and he returned from the dead, supposedly, you know, from the cross of the king. And and everyone's in shock and everyone's cheering and Voldemort is in shock, right? And
Voldemort's like, what?
Yeah, what the heck? How did this even happen? And that's right. And Voldemort's like, huh? So they start circling. Geo.
Sorry.
So they start circling each other, and it's like, I don't know. I found this part kind of cheesy, almost.
It reminded me of a western.
Yeah, like the tumbleweed and everything.
Tumbleweeds blow through the Great Hall.
Blowing past, right? You know, they've got their hands on their guns on either side of their hips, right? And so they start
circling
each other.
This castle ain't big enough for the both of us.
I loved it. And even before the book was released, I was speaking to Mirren. And I said, you know, I just hope that, you know, by the end of the book, Harry faces Voldemort and gets to call him Tom.
Yeah, me too.
I was just waiting to see that. And we get to see it, and it's awesome.
And he does. He calls Voldemort Tom. Right, he calls him Riddle. Right?
He's nothing more than a man.
That's right. He's nothing more than a man. He calls him by his name, his real name, right? Not this crazy, you know, dramatic name that Tom has made for himself. Like, talk about drama queen. Holy crap!
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and he basically gives Voldemort the crap, right? He gives him the story of how Snape loved his mother and how the wand is actually rightfully his, and how Voldemort's been wrong the entire time, and Voldemort just, you know, with every word that Harry says, Voldemort kind of, like, increasingly, you know, he cowers farther back, you know, and he's realizing what's actually happening and how he was wrong the entire time. And finally, they both shoot their spells at each other, and Voldemort shoots Avada Kedavra, and Harry shoots Expelliarmus. And
before that, does Harry offer Voldemort the chance?
That's right.
You know,
oh, yes.
Redemption?
Thank you for that. He actually said to Voldemort, he said, try for some remorse, right? And Voldemort was like, what? And he's like, I want you to try for some remorse, right? And Voldemort doesn't feel any remorse because that's just not his character. He is the embodiment of pure evil, and he doesn't feel
any
remorse.
Yeah, he's incapable of feeling remorse.
That's right. And so that one moment when Harry told him to do that, it just proved to us as readers that Voldemort is purely evil because he couldn't feel any remorse. And then they shoot their spells at each other, and Voldemort shoots Avada Kedavra, and Harry shoots Expelliarmus, which is Harry's signature spell, right?
Yeah.
The one that Remus told him not to use.
The one that, yeah, that's right. And and Avada Kedavra, it rebounds off the curse that Harry shot at him. I think this is how it happened. And it hit Voldemort. Voldemort essentially killed himself, right?
Yeah.
And the Elder Wand goes flying in the air, and Harry catches it, and Voldemort hits the ground dead with, you know, kind of this finality, right? Mm-hmm. And he is dead, and he's nothing more than a man now, and his body is just lying there. And I just think this is great because Harry, you know, he cast Expelliarmus, right? And by doing this predictable act of casting Expelliarmus, right, Harry acted unpredictably, and he defeated Voldemort. He defeated Voldemort by not killing him. That's what's incredible about this.
Yeah,
Harry goes through this entire series not killing anybody, mm-hmm. nothing, right? And
it was Voldemort's actions that led to his own downfall.
That's right, and he allows the Dark Lord's evil nature to be his own undoing, and in the end, Voldemort slays himself, mm-hmm. right? And it's just such a testament to the character that Joe portrays in Harry, you know? It's just, he went through this thing with pure good, and he came out victorious, right? As the good person that he is, right?
Yeah.
And Voldemort is dead. And there's like a couple moments of just dead silence for people to realize what just happened. And then the whole Great Hall erupts in cheers, and everyone's cheering and running around Harry and patting him on the back, and everything is really awesome, and Harry just can't believe that it happened, and there's a big celebration, and they all get to, and I really like this because they bring the tables back into the Great Hall, right? And I love it that nobody sat at there were just four tables now. Yeah. Nobody sat at, you know, the four respective houses according mm-hmm. to their house. There are just four tables that you sit down and eat dinner at, and everybody sat down at whichever one they felt they wanted to, right? The first one that they saw, right?
Exactly.
They're all together. Nobody cared anymore. This division just doesn't matter anymore to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They ate dinner. It was their victory celebration. And I love that. I love that they did that. And Luna comes up to Harry and says, if I, and again, once for the final time in this series, Luna shows how socially with it she is, you know, as awkward as she is, she's so socially conscious, you know, and she sits down beside Harry and she says, you know, if I were you, I'd want some peace and quiet right about now. Mm-hmm. And Harry says, you know, I don't want anything like, yeah, that's exactly what I want. Right. I would like nothing more than some peace and quiet. And, So Luna decides to distract everybody by pointing to the ceiling and say, look, everyone, what did she say? A blubbering humdinger or something like that. A blithering humdinger. And everyone's like, huh? And then Harry grabs the, then Harry grabs the cloak and he disappears. And he finds Ron and Hermione and they all go up to Dumbledore's office. And it's a real, this is a real touching part of the story. Harry, oh, God.
I cry at these parts.
Yeah, Harry walks into the office there, and all of the portraits in Dumbledore's office burst into clapping, and they're crying, and I love how Phineas Nigellus says, "Let it be noted that Slytherin played its part in this.
Yes.
We are not to be, you know, overlooked. You know, Slytherin did its good part, and everyone's cheering, and Dumbledore in his portrait is crying, and he's so proud of Harry, and." It's just a really great moment, you know. It's a really touching moment for us as readers, right? Because, you know, I can't even describe what I was feeling when I read this. Just so much content and satisfaction and happiness, you know. And you know, as I read through the series, I'm like, Harry made it, and so did I. And you know, it's like, I don't know, just drawing that reader comparison, you know, and they discuss the Elder Wand finally, and Ron wants Harry to keep it because Ron is kind of enamored by it, but Harry says, no, I'm not going to do that, you know. Harry says that, you know, if I put it back in Dumbledore's tomb and I leave it there in Dumbledore's tomb, when I die of natural causes, the wand will have lost its magical effect, and it will no one will be able to possess it anymore. And he ultimately does what I think is the right thing, and he mends his own wand with it because he says, "Meh, I liked my own wand better."
Yeah. I like that one.
You know, too. Yeah, I like that one too. And so he mends his own wand, and that's about it. But I just wanted to bring up one final point here: Harry's decision to return the Elder Wand to Dumbledore's tomb poses a very interesting problem, and that is. Because, like, the wand will always be Harry's until he dies, right?
Yeah.
So even if somebody disarms Harry or kills Harry while Harry is using his own wand, right, that wand will now have changed allegiance. So if Harry is going to hide this wand in Dumbledore's tomb, then he'd better, you know, protect himself, until the
end. Especially, office.
But I'm saying, especially since he is going to become an Auror, right? Like, that's... You know, he's going to have to really watch what he does, right?
And something tells me he'll always get his wand back in the end.
I think, well, obviously, yeah. But, just, you know, just being realistic here, right?
But even if he did, like, somebody, you know, killed him or whatever, whatever happened to him to take his wand, unless they, that Dumbledore had the Elder Wand in the tomb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It would still eventually die out.
Die out, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
like
because...
most people won't know about this. At all.
Yeah.
Right. They didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's not that easy, you know. It's not like anyone that can disarm Harry is gonna be, you know, the owner of the other one. There's more
because the wands can choose as well.
That to it. Yeah, and it has to be something that is, you know, it's really personal. Joe said something about that, so it does have to be a really emotional kind of situation in which, you know, one wizard takes. The others won. So it's not like in any random battle, Harry's going to lose the Elder's one allegiance.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
So, okay. Yeah, it's possible that, you know, what you're saying is going to happen. But I think it's pretty safe all the same.
Yeah, I think it's safe. But yeah, and then the chapter ends with Harry saying, you know, I've had enough trouble for a lifetime. And that's the end of the chapter. And now we're on to the epilogue.
19 years later.
Okay, the epilogue. It is now 19 years later, and the very first thing I noticed about this chapter is how just how much the writing recalls the style that it was in the first book. Did you guys notice that?
Yes. Like, it's I don't know what it is. It's
just
very
something about it and the descriptions and the words that are used, and it's just all it's innocent and sweet.
Yeah, it's innocent. Yeah, it's more childish in a way. Like, yeah. It's meant for younger people to read, just like the first book was. Because yeah. I think she wrote this around the time of the first book, didn't she? Before.
I didn't know
she wrote this.
Oh.
Yeah, she wrote this before the first book.
Really?
This epilogue. Yeah, and she saved it for until she finished the last one.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why it's like that, because her writing style
I know
has...
that.
Yeah, like, her writing style has changed over the last few years, so...
Are you sure?
Yep, I'm positive. So look it up.
Because, you know, I was going to say that last episode, you told us that, you know, the boy that plays Albus is the same baby as in movie one.
It is.
And I Googled it, and it's actually not.
What?
No.
It has to be.
Yeah, it's not. It's a rumor.
Oh, it's a rumor. Oh, okay.
Yeah. In the first movie, they used, like, triplets. So they were actually three babies recording, you know, as baby Harry. And it's not the same.
Oh.
You can see the last names in the credit.
Well, so. Shame on me, Adam. Shame for providing false information. No, I do know that this one is legitimate, though, because I remember watching a documentary on J.K. Rowling, and she said that she had...
Was it the one in a VHS tape with the really brightly colored?
I don't remember what it was. But I just remember her saying that she had the epilogue written... way, way before she wrote, you know, the rest of the series. So it's okay. Been in her her trunk there for the last 20 or so years.
So that is cool. Okay.
So that's kind of cool.
So we're here at King's Cross, and we are there with a family of Potters, Harry, Ginny, James Sirius, Albus Severus, and Lily Luna. And they are...
Love the names.
And they are getting ready to go to Hogwarts for Albus's first year. And I just love how excited wizarding children are to attend school. I think that's great.
Yeah.
They're just so eager because Lily is crying that she can't go yet. She just wants to learn so badly.
Aw, like her mom.
Yeah. And it's just kind of a walk down memory lane. We get to like see people that we've used to know, like... Percy is mentioned discussing, like, broomstick regulations, so we know he's back to his old self. That's nice. Yeah. And then the Potters meet up with the Weasleys. Ron and Hermione are married, and they have Rose and Hugo, and it is Rose's first year as well. And it's all very nice. It's fun. Like, Ron's joking about how he had to confront someone to pass his driver's test, and... Because, you know, now that they're married, Hermione doesn't do the confunding for them.
Yeah. So I love that. You know, you lose that, right?
Yeah. And one thing that I don't really like so much, I guess, is how there's still this kind of stigma surrounding Slytherin House. And, like, I know that, like, it's just Ron joking, but, you know, it's kind of terrifying if you're a kid, like... hearing that you're going to be disinherited, even as a joke, if you get into the wrong house that you have, like, no control over. But,
yeah.
So a little
but they
scary.
See Draco Malfoy and they nod at each other, so that's kind of an indication that, you know, things have gotten better and it's not as, you know, divided across house lines. And James has run off already, and then he comes back to Harry, Ron, Hermione, and Ginny, and says that Teddy and Victoire were snogging behind the train. That's,
ooh.
Yeah. So that's Teddy Lupin, who Harry just now decides to, like, officially adopt, like, in this chapter.
Well, I guess he's by now 19, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
like,
guess
he not, is. Like, adopt. He just says he's going to invite him to live with them, which is nice because I know
aww.
That Joe wanted to write to have that story with Teddy of him being an orphan, because she wanted to show that in war there are always going to be orphans, just as Harry was, and no matter how happy the ending, it's always going to be a little sad for someone.
Yeah.
But he does find victory. That's literally what victoire means in French, so, you know, love is continuing even after this great war, and
yeah,
you know,
that's right.
The young are still young and just making out behind trains.
Making out behind trains.
Yeah, like you do. And it's just so nice, because there are all these, what's your word for them, Adam? Throwbacks. There's so many little throwbacks.
Throwbacks. So yeah. Many throwbacks.
Like, Harry still has Fabian Pruitt's watch, which Molly gave to him on his 17th birthday. And
oh, wow.
We learned that Neville is now teaching at Hogwarts, Herbology, of course.
That is
which
cool.
Which is great for Neville, like this badass war hero. Just wants to teach kids about plants. That's great. So the train is about to leave now, and they're saying goodbye to the kids, and it's just Albus left now. And as Harry goes to hug him, Albus asks, like, is it, like, what if I do get sorted into Slytherin? And I think that Harry really doesn't care about the rivalry with Slytherin anymore. And I think it's pretty obvious from the answer that he gives Albus. He says, like, you know, you were named after two headmasters of Hogwarts, and one of them was a Slytherin, and he was probably the bravest man I ever know. Like, it doesn't matter to me what house you get into. I'll be proud of you anyway. And then he tells Albus, who, by the way, is the only one of his kids with Lily's eyes, he tells him that, you know, the sorting hat will take your choice into consideration, and he's never told any of his kids this before, but he was almost put into Slytherin, and it only put him into Gryffindor because he wanted it to. And so I think that, you know, by telling,
which proves that the sorting hat sorts too young.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because, like, these kids are terrified of it. It's,
yeah, like, Harry would have been put in Slytherin, for God's sake. Like, that's not even...
Yeah.
Like, I do agree with that. They're sorted way too young. Like, I get that, you know, Hogwarts needs some divisions for the Quidditch teams, and, like, you know, it's fun to have house points and everything, but I think that it was getting kind of too drastic, the divisions between, you know, especially Slytherin and Gryffindor.
Yes,
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I think that this finally reassures Albus, hearing that his dad was almost put into Slytherin, like, oh, well, I guess even if I do get put into Slytherin, that's where the hat wanted my dad to go, and he saved the Wizarding World, so there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. And then Albus gets on the train with everybody, and Harry's waving, and I think it's really important for Harry to wave so much, because he didn't have any parents to wave him off. And
Yeah, no kidding.
And that is just where the series ends with, it started with Albus dropping Harry off in the Muggle world, and now it ends with Harry dropping Albus off in the Wizarding world.
Oh, that's such a great parallel.
Awesome.
That was awesome.
Yeah. And Harry just, you know, absentmindedly touches his scar, but the scar had not pained Harry for 19 years. All was well.
Scar.
Bazooka.
Scar. Bazooka.
And that, my friends, is the end of the Harry Potter series. Thank you for joining us and listening to the Potterpensive podcast. It's been an honor.
I remember January 1st, 2010, when we cracked open the first book, and we were talking about Grunnings and... You know, the screwdriver company.
McGonagall sitting on a wall was a cat.
Yep. And, the Burmese python. And
actually, I was telling my fellow hosts earlier that I have my Sorcerer's Stone book with me. And at the time, I used to write my notes in sticky notes and put them in the book. And I have the first show note that I ever wrote down. It's on page 5 of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. It just says, "Who was the man?"
Who was the man?
I don't know.
I don't know who that was.
Me neither.
I don't know.
But it's got to be Dumbledore, right?
It's got to be.
I don't know.
But yeah, we finished. We're done. We're done now.
Crazy town.
Craziness. We just finished it. Oh, surreal. So yeah, what now?
Yeah. Okay. I don't like this part.
Awkward.
Yeah, awkward.
Insert crickets here.
Is this what it was like at the end of the war? Like, oh, Voldemort's dead. I guess I'll marry the person next to me.
Wow. Well, I mean, I guess there's nothing left to do except go through our closing statements. So I'd like to go last, if that's okay.
Okay, I'd like to go second to last then.
Okay. So it's either...
I think that's fair.
Okay. So all right,
I'll go. I'll go first. I'm not good at goodbyes. I'm not good, and I'm winging this. So, but okay. I just want to tell you guys that it's been so awesome getting to know you guys. A lot of our chicken soups that came in actually touched on a lot of what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
For instance, the diversity. It's not just the diversity in the countries that we all live in the different states, even within the United States or whatever. Even when Mauricio was here from Texas and things like that, and Holly one time from Hong Kong, and then, you know what I mean, from everywhere in all walks, but also the diversity in the age. You know, yes. You guys were a lot younger than I was when we started. Well, than I am now, but when we started.
We still are a lot younger than you are, but.
But,
you
like,
know.
You know, being, when you start to read Harry Potter, like, how old were you guys when you started?
Six.
When we started the podcast?
Started reading Harry Potter.
Oh, I was in grade 2. Yeah. That was the first novel okay, that I ever read.
I was through high school. So yes. From, you know what I'm saying? So it was such a different time that we both learned, and yet we still came together to make such an awesome podcast. And yeah. So I think the diversity there was something, yeah, that I really wanted to touch on. And like I said, it's just been awesome getting to know you guys, and I hope that we can continue to be friends, even Facebook friends or whatever, maybe one day, you know, day on our bucket list, like, yeah. We'll all meet up and see each other.
We will. 56.
Yeah, right?
But we will do that. We should plan. We should plan a trip or something where we all get together.
Kings Crossed, 2016.
That would be.
It'll be 19 years
later. That would
later
be amazing.
Or 2017.
When in 2016 is that? Or when in 2017 is that?
Well, September 1st, I guess. Is it 2016 or 2017?
2016 it is. Okay. It's 2016, which is great because I will have finished my degree by then, and
me
I'll
too.
Be traveling.
And I'll be married by then, so I can travel. Okay, but I just wanted to say one more thing. I wanted to thank you for inviting me to be part of this podcast. It was so Aww. Special. The way that you guys even invited me was so special, and it was such a great opportunity, and I'm so, so glad that you guys asked me to sadly as it was, replace Holly. But nothing better could have come. It's been amazing. Nothing better could have come at such a perfect time in my life. And it's been so great to escape from the outside world and just hang out with you guys, you know, for the couple of hours that we do when we do this. So thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Coming and doing this. Gosh. Oh, that's great.
Awesome.
Okay, Chio, buddy, take her away.
I don't really know what to say. I remember listening to the Butter Pensive podcast. I think you guys had like 3 episodes out.
Yep.
And I was like, whoa, this is fun. I should try to get in touch with these people. And I start, you know, mailing you guys, and you started replying. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And at some point, Adam actually invited me to be on the podcast. I was like, you know, dude, I cannot speak English.
Well, I think
it's
I invited
not gonna
you.
Work. I'm just gonna, you know, start babbling all around.
I invited you to do the website design, which is what you did first, right? Before
that is true.
Yeah.
And I was gonna ask if you're ever gonna pay me for that.
Maybe one of these days I'll pay.
King's Cross.
Once I make enough money.
There you go.
King's Cross, yeah. Expect some money at King's Cross.
Yeah, and after the website, you started talking a little bit more. I always came up with, you know, stuff, you know, you could do this on the podcast and you could do that. And, you know, something, I don't know, something got to your head and you thought it would be a good idea to invite me. So I thank you guys so much for that. It was amazing. it did help me with my English.
It actually really did.
I do feel like I can talk a little bit better. And it was just so amazing to, you know, get to know you guys. It was amazing, Adam, to get, you know, to bring you to Brazil and get to know you. And that was great. And, you know,
it was so weird, you know, it was so like getting off the plane, right? And all of a sudden I'm in Brazil and then I'm walking out into that common area where everyone was waiting for everybody, and all of a sudden seeing you guys like in real life for the first time, I was just like,
and all of a sudden, to me and,
yeah,
it turned to me and asked, "So, Chu, who's higher?" Who's higher?
And then just all of a sudden, like I'm in the back of the car, right, and we're driving down the road, and I'm like sitting beside Chu, and I'm like, I can't believe like this guy is actually like all of these people, Miriam, Monica, like everybody, like holy crap!
Yeah,
it was it was a one of a kind experience that I would have never had if we hadn't started this thing. So,
yeah,
that was great.
And like Sarah said, I think a lot of stuff, you know, have already been said by our, you know, chicken soups that we got and stuff like that. But, you know, Harry Potter is what brought us together here. But that's not why we kept on going. I think that, you know, just to share something and, you know, talk about it. And, you know, it's, you know, if you see how often we go on subjects that, you know, have nothing to do with Harry Potter, I think that's a testament to that.
On average, we spend about like an hour before every podcast just being dorks talking.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Just catching up.
So, you know, it's just, it's about friendship. And that's what the Harry Potter series is about, is what the podcast brought me. And, you know, let's...
It's about what the fandom brought us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's been awesome. And, you know, hopefully we all stay in touch. And we still have the Facebook group. So, you know... It's Harry Potter is kind of ending again, but it doesn't really ever end. We're going to have a new movie coming up, so that's I'm pretty sure Harry Potter is still going to end.
Oh my God.
A lot more times.
A lot more
times. It's going to start all over again, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So you guys know this, but, you know, we started this podcast when I was just 16, and, you know, it's seen me through, 4 years, 3 computers, 2 towns, 1 drastic haircut, and just pages and pages reread or skimmed, to be perfectly honest. And it's just been such a factor in who I grew up to be, and I'm so thankful that I had this in my life, and I'm really glad that Adam came up with the idea and that I agreed with it. And I want to address my absence for a moment. I don't regret that I left, because it was something that I had to do at the time for my own well-being, but, you know, I was like Ron, I wanted to come back every day, and I'm glad that you guys let me do that.
Oh, well, I'm happy you did come back. Really, like, I'm happy you came back and finished it with us.
Me
like,
too.
That was really great of you.
And yep. I'm just really thankful for you guys in my life, and you've just been such a force in shaping who I am. And who I became as an individual, as an adult, because, you know, I'm, like, 16, who are you exactly? I know it sounds cheesy and, like, existential, but it's true.
It's true.
Yep. You can definitely see, I think, my growth as a person and, like, as a literary analysis person, if you've listened through all the podcasts. And I don't know about you guys, but... I'm pretty pleased with how this podcast turned out and how I wound up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Hear, hear. My gosh. No, it's been great. Yeah.
I'm thankful to the listeners, of course, for always supporting us. I'm still in shock and awe that anybody even listens to me. I remember back in the early days, Adam would be like, "Look at this map. We have 3 listeners in 1 state." And we'd be like, "Oh my God, who are they? We have to like mail them chocolates or something."
Mail them something. I remember for the longest time, Chio was the only listener from Brazil, the one downloader from Brazil. Oh my God, we've got a downloader from Brazil.
I remember that. And like every day, I'd just be like a new state, a new country, and be like, "How is this happening to us?" And
I know.
I'm really glad that our big old family expanded,
and grew, and I'm thankful to the writers on the website that we had, and of course to my fellow hosts, and I'd just like to say that of all the many, many projects I've worked on in my life, in my personal life, or in the Harry Potter fandom, this is the one that stands out to me as the one that I'm most proud of.
Aww.
So thank you. I love you all.
That's awesome. That's
great. Oh, I love you, Heather.
Thanks.
Oh, now I guess it's my turn.
It's your turn.
Okay, well, I just wanted to say, first of all, that I come from a very small town, and I come from a town that, you know, I was always the kid that liked to do things that was out of the ordinary. I was big into media. I liked making things. I liked, you know, I had a creative side. I liked to, you know, make things, and I wanted people to, you know, one of the reasons why I started this podcast is because I wanted to make something and have people listen to it and have feedback on it, because, you know, the Potterhead that I am couldn't really do that with my real life friends in Clearwater, right? And so, you know, you go through Clearwater, it's a small town, there's very few people there, and I was a teenager, I was 16 at the time, and I just wanted to try something new, and, you know, this series has been such a sculptor of my life, basically. Like, I've made so many decisions based off, you know, relating to this series and just the things that happened, and it's just taught me so much. And it was the first book that I ever read, you know, like the first full-length novel was Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone that I ever read. And it just stuck with me for the rest of, up until now, you know, I got curious and excited, and I went into the online fandom, and I signed up with MyLeaky, and I started to meet people that had just the same crazy obsession that I did with the series, and it was great to connect with everybody, and that's where I met Heather, and
Shout out to me.
Shout out to Heather. And we were, you know, typing, and we really connected, right? And we would then Skype with each other, and we would watch the movies together, and that's where we came up with the idea for the podcast. And I've loved doing this podcast, partly because it's been a way for me to bring out that nerdy side that I couldn't ever bring out as a kid, you know? Like, I had my real life friends, but I also had my crazy, you know, geeky, totally individual, totally proud of being unique Potterheads, totally awesome, you know, definitely. Totally awesome, yeah. You know, getting together and doing this. And I never told anybody in high school that I did this podcast, you know, like I never did, ever. And, you know, it was because I didn't want to be seen as, you know, that loser who, you know, spent, you know, hours in his room making this podcast on probably one of the geekiest topics in the world. But you know what? I have loved every single, I mean, some of the editing, yeah, okay, whatever. But when we were actually together recording, I have loved every single moment of it and connecting with you guys. And it was an incredible experience. And it was just something that nobody else does. Like, think about it. Like, no, who else does this? Who else gets together and makes a podcast? Not very many people will get together and make a podcast like this.
The Pottercast.
Yeah, they do. That's right, yeah. But you know what? Like, nobody from my town did, right? Like, I'm probably the only one in BC that is doing a Potterhead podcast, you know? And it was just a really good thing.
Most people where I'm from don't even know what podcast means.
That's a very good point.
That's right. And so many opportunities have come with doing this, right? Like, we got big, and we did a bunch of things. Like I said before, we made T-shirts, we've got published, We made connections. I got to travel the freaking world and see things, all because I started this thing. And I feel so honored and humbled, like Heather said, that to have done this. And I feel so fulfilled, I guess. And just, I feel such satisfaction that we stuck through this and we finished it. And first of all, I just want to say thank you to all the fans who, you know, while we haven't talked to you, I hope that you've connected with us somehow and that you've found, you know, like what Timothy said in his letter, some solace, you know, the people like me who couldn't really connect with others who had the same maniacal obsessions, right? And that, I hope that we did something for you over these past 4 years. And I just want to thank you all for your constant support. And because without listeners, I mean, we wouldn't be here doing this, you know, I would, you know, it would be, if we didn't have the feedback, if we didn't have anybody listening, we would have quit right away. And you guys did. You guys listened to us and stuck with us, and it's great. And I want to say thank you to you guys, Heather, Sarah, Chio, Holly, Emily, everybody who's been on the show. I want to thank you guys because, you know what, you guys all rock, you know, and thank you for sticking through with us till the end. Heather, thank you for coming back. You know, this podcast has changed my life, you know, and I tell you, like, I wouldn't give this experience up for anything because it's something that nobody else does. And
I agree.
So proud. I started it when I was 16. Now I'm 21. And it's really kind of brought me into adulthood, you know?
Yeah.
And just thank you for coming together and talking about a series, you know, that we all love and that we're all equally obsessed with and knowledgeable about because we're obsessed with it, and just sharing this experience with me. And I just want to end this speech by saying that, you know what? Geeks and fans rule the freaking world, you know? Like, we're not ashamed to step out and be the mega fans that we are, you know?
Always and be passionate about what you love.
Hear, amen to that. Be passionate about what you love, to embrace that, you know, we're crazy about these certain things and that we have this overwhelming support for one another in doing this podcast. And, you know, we're brought here because, you know, we bring out our humanity by coming together just for the sake of it. And I would not have it any other way. So thank you guys so much for doing this. You know, you've really made my childhood and helped me shape who I am today. So, yeah.
Thank you, Adam. You're a Harry.
Yeah.
You're a Harry. Oh, that was awesome.
It was great.
Yeah.
Aw, bittersweet.
Okay, well, I guess that leaves us with our final outro. Oh, I guess we got a little announcement. So this plan is not finalized in any way. It's so hazy that we don't know if this is going to happen or not, but maybe, possibly, we might be coming back with a couple of people from Aboard the Night Bus podcast, and we may be taking our first looks at Pottermore. Ooh. Maybe. What?
And also remember to keep your eyes peeled for some blog posts from Holly and I in the future.
Those feminism blog posts, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, yeah, those might be happening. It might happen. That is, if my work schedule allows and if people are still up for it at that time. You know, and if we ever do decide to do something in the future, you know, keep that Facebook group on your little sidebar there, because that's where we are, you know?
Yep.
And so is the Twitter. That'll be up there for years and years.
Yep.
And also, I'm going to be putting up all of the episodes. And you know what? I just want to address this. Ricky, I found the pre-show you were talking about that disappeared from the internet. I'm going to be re-uploading that to the internet just for the sake of it. So,
guys,
not all hope is lost.
Just remember that help will always be found at the Potter Pensive for those who ask.
That's right.
That's right.
Yep. That's right. So yeah, and that leaves us to the end of this podcast and the end of this incredible 4-year journey that we've done. And let's do our outro one last time, guys.
Goodness.
Thank you to everybody who's listened to this podcast and have supported us over the last few years. We couldn't have done it without you.
Snape kills Dumbledore.
So for the very last time, without further ado, Nitwit.
Blubber.
Oddman.
What if I refuse?
Tweak.
Thank you and goodbye, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Bye, everybody. Bye. MBOT.